All right. Well, what we were going to talk to you about tonight is that we were actually going to be talking about the importance of young people. Amen? And, you know, it's important that we have young people in the church. And it's very so important to have children's ministries, youth ministries, young adult stuff. It's really important to have those things, amen? Because that's signs of a healthy church. And I don't know if you looked around, but this place emptied out when the kids all went, you know? And so there's lots of kids in this place, amen? This is a Wednesday night. On Sunday, you know, you can't swing a Bible around without striking two or three youngsters, man. They're everywhere, amen? And that's a good thing. That's a fantastic thing. That's a sign of a healthy church, and we need that. The sad reality is there's far too many ministries that are dying because there's no children in there. And so we have a responsibility to our kids and to train them up and to get them into the house of God. You know, we're supposed to be their examples, amen? Are you listening to me? That's good. I'm having trouble with my mic, so I'm having a hard time listening to myself. All right, here we go. So we have a responsibility to our kids, and we are to encourage and build them up and train them. We are to be examples. It's no good for someone to look at a teenager or to one of our kids and say, hey, you should be involved in doing this, you should be doing that, when really we're not doing nothing ourselves but only warming a pew Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. You see, we are supposed to be their examples. And so if we want teenagers to be involved and grow and develop, well, we got to be doing something as well also. Amen? Isn't that true? And so if we want to get our kids, you know, in church and out of trouble, well, are we going to church? Are we attending regular? What are they watching us do? You see, we are to be their examples. Amen? And so even right that, when we're praising and worshiping God, they're watching us. They're listening to us. Today, when I was at the office today and sat down there, I was listening to this praise and worship song, and it was quite a testimony goes along with the song. And I was watching this video. The camera guy kept going up to this family, and basically what ended up happening was this little boy, they were this ministry couple, and they had a couple children, and their little boy was really sick. And just before Christmas, they had to airlift him to a hospital, and they had to go to intensive care. And so the father actually texted the guy that was leading worship and said, we're not sure if the kid's going to make it through tonight. It's pretty critical. And so they all come together, started praying and believed and believed and believed. And so praise God, the little boy was healed. Amen. And anyway, they were at this concert where this was taking place, and they were telling this testimony, and the worship leader was at the time. And so, you know, it was like all fine and dandy. He didn't think nothing of it. And all of a sudden, the camera panned to this family, and here's this little boy. And as they're singing praise and worship, here's this little boy. He's about the age of Timothy, maybe two, maybe, or three, maybe four-ish, maybe. And here he is with his hand stretched towards heaven up in his dad's arms. You know, his mom got her hand raised, and his mom got his older sister in her arms, and she's got her hand raised. Dad got the little boy up in his arms. His hand is up, and the little boy's hand is up. And they're just giving her the bickies, man, just praising God all out. Amen? 3 and 4 years old, praising God. You see, you talk about children watching us, you know? And it blesses my heart every now and then. I guess Benjamin feels touched that he has to raise his hands. And every now and then you look at him and he got his hands raised and he's praising God. You know, that's encouragement to me, you know? And if you can get Timothy's attention long enough, you know, sometimes he got his hands raised too. I've seen that. But my kids, they're always singing praise and worship songs in the house. And, you know, they're always doing those type of thing. To this very day, you ask Benjamin, Ben, what are you going to be when you grow up? He's like, I'm going to be a pastor. I said, oh, no. You know? And that's what he says he's going to do. You know, I haven't never coaxed him to do that. You can be whatever you want to be, you know? Do something, you know? No, I'm going to be a pastor, Dad. Oh, Lord. And just lay hands on him, you know? But that's what he wants to be. So I take it really, very, very much so that, you know, very important in my life and to my wife that we got little ones watching us all the time. And so I think it's great as well that as we're being examples is that it's just not the mom or the dad serving in the church, but it's the whole family serving in the church. Amen? It's vitally important. We need to encourage our young people to go after the things of God and not discourage them because of their age. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 12 here. And we see Paul here is encouraging his young protege, Timothy. And it says, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now you see, Timothy, he was a young man at the time. And, you know, Paul was training him up in the ministry. And Timothy was a young pastor, a young guy. And people were giving him a rough time. Are you listening to me? Being young in the ministry can be really tough because you got to deal with other people that are older than you. And a lot of times they think they know more than you. Praise God. You know? And sometimes they do know more. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to get respect to young people and or of older people when you're a younger minister and all those things. And I ask any minister that started off young in life and going into a church and all those things, you tell them, they can tell you stories of some struggles and how people not take them serious and all those things. But you can see here, Paul has encouraged Timothy, listen, it doesn't matter how young you are, but be an example to the believers. You see, our teenagers, our children can actually be examples to us and to those out in our community as well. I have a hockey team. I'm a hockey coach. I know, right? Crazy. And I ended up with all the church kids on my hockey team. I don't know how that happened because nobody knew at that point what was going on, who was who, but I got the majority of the church kids on my hockey team. And, you know, when Sunday rolls around, praise God, we don't play hockey on Sunday, you know? It just doesn't work. We don't do that during service time. Now, we had a tournament a couple weekends ago, and we had two games on Saturday and one game on a Sunday afternoon. So I was excited because we were able to go because it was Sunday afternoon. It was Sunday morning. Ain't going to happen. I got church. I got stuff to do. Amen? But now some of our church kids, they go to a different church, and they have service in the afternoon, so they couldn't go. And you know what? They weren't embarrassed, and they weren't, you know, whatever to say, no, coach, I'm sorry, we can't make it there. Coach, we got church on Sunday, so we can't make it. And I'm like, that's fantastic, buddy. I'd rather you be in church anyhow. You know? And they looked at me, and the parents finally figured out what was going on. and I told them what my day job was, you know. And I told them what I did, and it was hilarious when the reaction was. And it's opened up so many doors to have conversations to have with different parents as well about different stuff. So I've made some divine connections that way. But about four or five of my kids on my team, probably six in total, they're church kids. And, you know, they are examples to the rest of the hockey team because the way they conduct themselves, the way they talk, that they put an importance on church at an age of 7, 8, 9 years old, that, you know what, no, coach, we can't play hockey. We got to go to church. You know, somebody's doing something right there. It's quiet in this church. Why was it so quiet? What's going on here? You know, and so that speaks volumes to me. Amen? So that's quite the example. And so those parents, they know it's important that on a Sunday that we find ourselves in the house of God as a family, together, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? That's good. Good job, Steve. All right. So, First Timothy 4:12 from the New Living. I'll read it. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live your life, your faith, and your purity. So in every area of our lives, the way that we love, the way we believe, the way we conduct ourselves, you know, young people can be an example to that. And I'm very proud of our teenagers in this church. Because, you know, yeah, they have struggles and they have situations and they have all types of stuff that goes on in their lives. Well, don't you remember when you were a teenager? Some of you might have been a little longer than others, but, you know. But you remember when you were a teenager, some of the struggles and stuff that you went through, you know. And our kids, you know, they're going through stuff too. I wouldn't want to be a teenager these days with the garbage that's on the go. The stuff that's going on in the schools and the way that, you know, stuff is being, you know, pushed on them. And, you know, I was still of the generation where we didn't have, you know, all this Facebook stuff. And, you know, we still went outside and played, okay? You know, it wasn't always video games and iPhones and iPads and everything at your fingertips. We still threw rocks at each other. That was fun, okay? You know? So, You know, I even now, like, it's kind of hard to see you. You know, I'm not that old. I'm 31. I told my age. Can't believe I'm 31. I was 19 yesterday, but 31 today. And, you know, it's interesting to see the changes that's taken place. And our kids, they do go through struggles. Even in the elementary school, you see the kids, and you see some of the drama that takes place among these little kids. It's unbelievable, you know? So we have a job that we're supposed to be doing. So Paul was encouraging Timothy here to stay strong, even at a young age, to be an example to others. And that's what we're supposed to be doing to our younger generation, is that we're taking time to encourage them to stay strong so that they can be an example to their generation and even maybe rub off on us a little bit. Amen? We see many times in Scripture that God used young people to do amazing things. One such person started off as the youngest in his family and basically the least. God had an amazing plan and purpose for his life. He started off as a shepherd, ended up as a giant killer, and at a very early age, he kicked some serious Philistine butt, and eventually, when he got a bit older, he became king. Who am I talking about? David. David is one of my most favorite people in the Bible. He had quite the life. When you read it, you know, he lived how many lives when you think about what he did? But he became a giant killer when he was a teenager. And so today, this is what we're going to be talking about, is how we are supposed to be helping the giant killers. Because, ladies and gentlemen, our kids, they have the potential on the inside of them because God is with them to be giant killers. And so usually when I speak on a Wednesday, we usually keep the kids up with us, but we wanted the kids to go down, hang out with Pastor Roma, Shandai, Lord be with them, you know. But I wanted to talk to you guys about this because we have a huge responsibility as a church and as a congregation, as a family, to support our kids. Amen? The other night, they were at a friend's house, and a bunch of them got filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you hear testimonies like that, that's exciting. Because that's telling me something, that our teenagers are hungry for a move of God. When was the last time you were at someone's house and they got filled with the Spirit? Challenge. Exactly. We can learn something from that. Boldness. You know? Well, you got to be these days. If you can go out in public with green and yellow hair, well, then you should be able to talk to someone about Jesus. You know? Some of the stuff they wear and some of them, they concern me. You know, some kids I know, they got that many piercings, they walk outside. I'm not walking by them because if we have lightning, that could be a potential health hazard. Okay? You know? But I love our teenagers. I love our kids. I love teenagers. I love children. I got three of my own, you know? It's even when I go up to the school and whatnot, I'm one of those parents, I volunteer so I can be around there. So I want to be, the kids all know me as Ben's dad or Abby's dad or, you know, something of the sort. My wife actually works at the school as well, not because we want to be overshadowing our kids all the time, but because we want to be involved. You know, we feel that we can be an influence in that community there. And a lot of people that we've connected with, they're business professionals or they're, you know, doctors, lawyers, policemen, firefighters, all types. We got all types of office people and stuff, and we're rubbing shoulders with these people, getting to know them. And our children are playing together and hanging out, and we get to build relationships with these people. To me, it's a strategic thing. When I'm supporting my children, also it's opening up a window of opportunity for me that I can be an influence to people as well. Now, you see how important it is for us to be backing our giant killers? Good. Well, let's look at David. God, seeing David, was willing to do what needed to be done. Now, you got to understand that when David went to go to battle, he wasn't going to go fight a Philistine. That was not on his agenda that day when he got up. He didn't wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go kill a giant today. That wasn't something that he had planned in his schedule. Okay? Instead, his father asked him, his father was kind of nosy and kind of wondering what was going on, and was like, well, you know what? Hey, do me a favor there, son. I know you're busy watching the sheep, but can you bring this lunch out to your brothers? And you know, and make sure you suck up. I mean, you give a little extra to the to the centurion, or to the, whatever he was out there, the commanding officer out there, you know, so the boys are okay. Dave's like, sure, Dad, I'd love to go. So Dave takes off and goes and goes to the battlefield, and he's like, where's everybody at? They're all hiding. I'm like, what's going on here? And they're looking at David. David, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Well, Dad told me to bring you some lunch. Well, you're crazy. You get out of here. Well, why? Well, they got a crazy giant over there. And he's going to destroy us. This army, we don't know what to do. And David is like, let me at him. Because David, you got to understand, he was a shepherd boy. You know, he already killed a lion and a bear. Well, why Jesse kept him home and sent those other wimps out to fight, I don't know. Because anyone who can kick a lion and a bear's butt, that's who I want fighting with me. Okay? Leave the other guys home, all right? With the guy that's got some experience, but no. But you see, young David, he understood something. Even at a young age, he was raised up to trust in God. He was raised to have faith in God. Amen? And because he knew that God was for him, he knew that no weapon formed against him would prosper. So, here's Dave. He's a shepherd boy. And here's all these mighty soldiers, highly trained, and they're shaking in their tents. Not going to go after an old giant today. Now, we got to understand something. That this little shepherd boy, even though that morning when he got up, he was a shepherd boy. But God had planted something in him even before the foundation of the earth was laid. And God knew that David would be a willing vessel. He knew that the faith of God would be on the inside of him, and that would be a working, come on now, and that he would be able to do some great and mighty things because he was willing. And David was willing. Now, let me ask you something. Is there any willing people in here to do what God has called you to do? Because you see, if you give God control of your life like young Dave did, you can go in and you can chop the giant's head off. Now, they tried to talk David out of doing this. The king is like, David, you're a young guy. Like, what are you doing, man? And then David kind of talked him into it. And he's like, okay, well, if you're going to do it, you got to wear my armor. Well, Saul was a big man. And his armor didn't fit him. It's like, you know, if I had hockey gear and putting it on Ben. All right, Ben, here, go play hockey with my gear. It's not going to work. You know, it just wouldn't work. So David's like, no. He said, I'm going to do this the way that God wants me to do this. So what did David do? He had a sling and some stones. And buddy, he had fun. See, he grew up in the time, it wasn't iPhones and iPads and video games. He was throwing rocks at people. But you see what took place? Because he was faithful unto God, because he was diligent and he obeyed God. Eve talked to God. He prayed to the Father. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. Actually, turn to 1 Samuel 17. You there? Did I tell you to go there? Now, look at verse 46. Now, this is young Dave. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'm reading from the Amplified, guys. I'm sorry. And I will smite you and cut off your head. And I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Woo-wee! Now, verse 48, it says, when the Philistine came forward to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Now, see what happened there? He ran quickly. Now, that tells me something there about David. He was sure and positive of what the outcome of the situation was going to be. Teenager, big giant, guards and soldiers that are highly trained, frightened to death. God's working through that teenager. And he's running into battle. He's not sheepishly going into battle. He's not having second thoughts about it. He ran head first at that giant. All right, let's keep going here. Verse 49. David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it. And it struck the Philistine, sinking into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Boom! You know, I could see he was a big guy, eh? And so when he went down, I could see how everyone that was watching, like, just do a little, when he thumped. I see the look on everyone's face when the little guy dropped his, you know. The heck was that? 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck down the Philistine and slew him, but no sword was in David's hand. Now let me show you something here. So he ran and stood over the Philistine. David is still running. He's not taking his time here. So he ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, they fled. The very weapon, the very thing that was meant to destroy David, David killed Goliath with. The enemy might be coming after you with some nasty weapons. But you see, the thing is that he can't touch you. He can't defeat you because God's already got you covered. Amen? But the thing is we can't go sheepishly into it. And see, we have teenagers. We have young ones. We have children. They're all giant killers. We are giant killers. And we get to run at that. Not worried, not concerned, not being like those mighty warriors. But we go in like a shepherd boy who's got the faith of God on the inside, who's killed the lion, who's killed the bear, going in with a sling. Because, you know, it's interesting sometimes. The enemy attacks us with all types of stuff. But you know all what we need to kick the devil's butt? Is the word. Amen? So we can kick the devil's butt. So what's a giant killer? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. A young person, or anybody really, but in this case, a young person willing to do what God wants them, and they're doing it. Because that's how David became a giant killer. He was willing to do what God had called him and asked him to do, and he did it. Because you can be a giant chaser, or you can be looking at the giant and be a giant facer. But it's better to be a giant killer. Amen? There you go. So what is our responsibility then to these giant killers? Well, Scripture clearly states that we are to be examples to our children and to those around us. Proverbs 22:6 in the New King James, it says that we are to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have a responsibility to do some work here. We can't expect and leave it up to the pastors, to the Sunday school teachers, to the aunties, to the uncles. That's up to me and you to make sure that our children, on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or whatever, they are found in the house of God. And that in our lives and in our household, that we magnify, that we glorify God. And that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is actually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over our lives. This is our responsibility to these giant killers. Because if we want to set our kids up for greatness, well, we got to give them what they need. You can't look at an infant and say, okay, you know, go become a physicist. There's some training's got to be involved there. There's some schooling. You know? You can't look at an infant and say, okay, I need you to go fix my truck. It's not working right. It just doesn't work. It takes time. They have to learn. They have to develop. When I got Benjamin. Benjamin likes doing whatever I'm doing. And so when I change the oil on a vehicle, even Abigail gets in there even every now and then. But if I'm changing the oil or working on something, he's out there and I'm explaining to him, here, buddy, this is how this works. This is how we do this. Even Timothy now. He got his own little workbench. He got his own little tools. And, you know, one day I was out there doing something, I hear clanging and banging, and here he is, he's working on my truck. Working on my truck. But heck, he's learning, you know? But you see, it takes some development. I have to show him. And it's going to take a long time before I'm going to be able to let Tim change the oil or let Ben do it by themselves. But, you know, there's training. They're going to learn how to do that. Well, it's the same thing applies to life and to this walk with Christ. We have to take the time to train up our children. Don't leave it up to someone else. We train our kids. Amen? That's right. Our responsibility is that we train up our kids, Proverbs 22:6, in the way that they should go. So, in order for us to train them, we need to be their examples. Well then, how do we be their examples? Well, first of all, we must follow the plan of God that He has for me and you. Because how can we show a child or someone else how to follow God when we're not doing it ourselves? Practice what you preach. You know? We have to be on this faith thing. We have to trust in God. We have to be a giant killer as well. Amen? But we can do that. We have that power on the inside of us. You know, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who we are. Amen? Scripture tells us we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Tells us that we're joint heirs with Christ. Tells us that we are made whole. That we are healed. Amen? That we are blessed. That we have more than enough. Scripture tells us all these things. Amen? And so we need to live those things out in our lives so that our children see it and that then they believe it and they can walk it out as well. Because when tough times come, that's not the time to start going in your Bible looking for the answers. Right now is when you're putting in the work. Right now is when they're little ones and you're praying over them at bedtime. We pray over our children at least twice a day. In the morning, on the way to school, we pray. And at nighttime, before they go to bed, we pray with them. And then throughout the day, Lord have mercy. Why, Lord, why? You know? Any parents know what I'm talking about? You ever prayed that prayer? Lord, give me patience. I prayed that once and He gave me Tim. I stopped asking the Lord for patience. Isn't that right, honey? Yeah? Praise God. He's a character. He was just like his mother. I swear it's his mother. She's like the most relaxed, laid back. I don't know. Who can we blame it on, Kendra? Can't blame it on me because I'm standing up here. Oh, Timmy. I love him. Back to Timmy. He can be the most sweetest little thing at one point, and then the devil the next. It's unbelievable. I've never seen a kid like it. You know, it's unbelievable. I'm like, how? I don't understand. But we're training him. He's calmed down a heck of a lot in the last few weeks, the last few months, actually. He's getting all excited to go to school. Praise God, going to school in September. Amen. You know, sorry. Was that a victory dance? Sorry. Pray for the teacher. Teachers are actually asking for him. They cannot wait for him to come to school. I'm like, are you sure you know what you're asking for? You know? But they absolutely adore him. You know? I'm telling you. But I'm proud of my little Timmy because I know when he gets older and if he stays with this and he goes, instead of having his little personality so strong in the natural, if he put that over into the spiritual sense, well, I pity the devil. Because I'm going to tell you what, he will be a mighty force, you know, because he is determined, you know, he is determined. Once Tim gets something in his head, there's no changing. He's definitely a giant slayer. He's a giant killer, okay? I'm going to tell you that right now. He's something else. All my kids, I love my children. They are awesome. I'm excited to see what God's doing in their lives, amen? Proud parent moment, hallelujah. So, once again, how are we to be examples to our children? Well, like I said, we must follow the plan that God has for us. We need to be faithful to the Father. Now, I had this conversation with the Bible school students, second year students, and I asked them, how are we faithful to God? 15 minutes later, we were still looking for an answer from a bunch of second year school students. And then I had to get Pastor Dave to come in and help us. And that made matters worse. No. But how are we faithful unto God? The best answer was you do stuff. No. Well, yes, you do a lot of stuff. You do stuff. But you do what you've been called to do. You are faithful unto God. Amen? And so we have to be faithful. We're going to encourage and build up our little guys. Well, then we're going to encourage them. Amen? We're going to be faithful to the Father. We live our lives as examples. Monkey see, monkey do. A lot of big monkeys in this place. Amen? And there's a lot of little monkeys watching the big monkeys. Amen? And so you got to be careful what you're doing. Because they will copy you, you know. They say all the time, the little kids, they'll mimic their heroes, you know. You're their heroes. Moms, dads, you're their heroes. Aunties, uncles, grandparents, they're going to be doing what you're doing. Amen? Amen. You preach it, little one. See, she's already getting ready. Start preaching. Come on, girl. Amen. We also got to remember we are being watched. You're just not being watched by your kids, but you're being watched by your children's friends. You're being watched by your nieces, your nephews. You're being watched by those kids that are around you. You know? You wouldn't believe it, but they are watching you. The way that you open up a door for somebody, or the way you treat your wife, or the way you treat other people. Amen? They're watching you. Next thing we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to encourage our kids. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Amen. We're already doing that. If you're here tonight and you brought your kids, you're doing that. That's being a major encouragement to them. One thing I've learned becoming a hockey coach is that you can never have too much encouragement on the bench. If we're winning or if we're losing, I'm still there cheering my team on. And I mean, I'm the loudest one in the rink. Hey, Kendra. We had the tournament. I was stood up on the benches. I was stood up, and I mean, the rink was full of people. And I'm screaming at my kids, go, you can do it. Yeah, you know, just being a crazy maniac. And my voice was completely shot after. Kendra was thankful. But, you know, it was, I was completely, and this was the most intense hockey game. And the other coach, he was standing on the bench as well. And when we were trying to see who could scream the loudest at our kids, you know, to get them to play and to encourage them. Go, go, go. Get them. You know, you're doing it. And every shift change, we were high-fiving. We were patting them on the helmets and all that stuff, you know. It was so fantastic. You can never have too much encouragement. You know what? Your kids are going to mess up. We've all messed up. Today, some of us has messed up. You know, maybe in the last 5 minutes you've done something. I don't know. How much trouble can you get in church? I don't know. Enough. But you know, the thing is don't be down on yourself and don't be, oh yeah, there's got to be time for correction. Don't get me wrong. But we still got to look for opportunities to encourage. That we have to build up. Well, Scripture puts a lot of emphasis on that. Our kids need encouragement. You tell them they're doing a good job. When they hand you a piece of artwork, and it's probably the most awkward thing you've ever seen in your life, it's still beautiful. Amen? I mean, I have stacks and stacks of stuff that comes from school, you know? And some of it, I don't even know what it is, but it's absolutely beautiful. It's abstract, okay? Abby comes, Daddy, I made this for you today, and there's a great big sheet of paper, and there's like paper bags hanging off of it and streamers and stuff on. It's like, it's a beautiful thing, Abby, you know? But she's exploring her creativity, which is good, you know? And this is the way God is with us, because He's always encouraging us. He's always blessing us. And we just, because we want to prepare our giant killers. And look, a bunch of giant killers just walked in here. Holy man, what a bunch of giant killers. Amen? The devil wants our children, and he is consistently looking for ways to destroy them. But now, I just read an article this morning, actually, about a 10-year-old boy down in the States. And he actually committed suicide at 10 years of age. Just recently, within the last 2 weeks. You know the reason he did that? He was being bullied in school because he had a medical condition. And he had that bag on his side. And he was bullied in school. 10-year-old little boy. That should never, ever happen. That should never, ever, because the devil's going around and he's going to try and influence. If we're not careful, if we're not influencing our children, someone else is going to influence our children for us. And it might not always be the most positive way either. So ladies and gentlemen, we need to be a positive force in our children's life. Amen? It says 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And then over in John 10:10, it says, "This thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come," this is our hope right here, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Amen? So listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to stand on our feet right now. I asked for the music team to come back. We can still go for another little while here, but that's okay. But I just want to show you this. We need to encourage our kids to be giant killers. We need to be their examples. Amen? The things that happens when God gets a hold of our students' lives is absolutely amazing. When anybody lets God take control of their life, it's absolutely amazing. In the Bible, we see all types of scriptures about young people doing mighty things for God. All throughout Scripture, we see all types of interesting things. We already talked about David. Then we hear in 1 Samuel 3, young Samuel hears the voice of God. Remember that story? He thought Eli was singing out to him, but really it was God trying to get Sammy's attention. And he had a message to give. And then you look in Genesis, and we see the story of Joseph. He was a young man that was betrayed by his own brothers. But he actually went from the pit to the palace, to the second in command. Amen? He was a young man. Miriam, who was the brother, or who was the sister of Moses, was a teen, and she saved her brother's life by putting him in a basket to save him and rescue him from what Pharaoh was doing. She was a teenager. You want another one? Jeremiah was a teenager when God called him to be a prophet in Israel. All right, I'll give you another one. In Daniel 3, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to an idol because they had faith and they trusted in God. They were young, young men, older teenagers. And they refused to give. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, but because of their obedience, they had an encounter with God. They were thrown into fire, but when they looked in, there was four walking around in there. Amen? So you might be in that fire. You might be in that situation, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But God is there with you. Amen? The mother of Jesus, Mary, young teenage girl, and she brought the Savior of the universe, the Savior of this earth, the Savior of me and you, into this planet. Woo! Teenage girl. You see what happens? When anybody lets God take control, when teenagers allow God to move in them, giants get slayed. Mountains get moved. Miracles happen. History is changed. Hallelujah! Now we're going to do something here real quick. I'm going to ask if our teenagers can come up here tonight. Come on, guys. Now we have a responsibility as a church family. Come on. If you consider yourself a teenager, want to be a teenager, that's me. I'm here. I'm already here. How old am I? 19. Exactly. They know how old I am. I'm 19. Now you see these guys here? They're going to do some awesome stuff. They've already started doing awesome stuff. A couple of them got together and the Holy Spirit showed up. This kid just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You just got it too, didn't you? Yeah? I mean, there's some pretty awesome stuff taking place. I'm excited where God's taking us this year with these guys. And this is only a small portion of our group. Where's the other one that plays bass? Oh, she's in children's. Is she here? She's in children's, helping out. See, serving. You know? Church family, if you can, let's come gather around our kids right now. Let's just lay our hands on our children. They're not even children, teenagers, young adults, whatever they are. You'll always be kids. Come on, guys, let's get up here. We're going to pray over them. And why we're praying over these guys, we're also praying, we're going to stretch our hands towards the door, and we're going to pray over our young ones that are down here as well. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Lay hands on our kids. Let's just start praying right now. Let's just play protection over them. Father God, we thank you for our teens, Lord. We thank you for our children, Lord. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are making them strong, Father. That you are guiding, you are protecting them, Father. That, Lord, you are with them, Lord. That, Father God, they are giant killers, just as David was, Lord. That, Father God, they have a call on their lives from you. And, Lord, it doesn't matter how old they are, right from the youngest baby, right to the oldest teenager, young adult we got here, Lord. I just thank you right now that you are guiding them. You are protecting them now in the name of Jesus. That no weapon formed against them shall ever prosper. Holy Spirit, have your way right now in Jesus' name. Woo! Yes! Yes, Lord. The Father, wherever they go, Lord, doors of opportunities are open unto them. They have favor wherever they go. They are blessed, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes! Yes! Oh, she under the ball, so koto to rabi, she under the basata. He and the robot shot to do good. He and the robot shot to the rabbi. He and the robot satata. Yes. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. He and the robot shot. He and the robot shot to do. He and the robot shot. He and the robot. Oh. Come here, Joe. Come here, little Joe. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here, Joe. Come here. He on the robo show to the robo she on the rabasatata. He on the robo she on the rabasatata. Yes. Yes. Just give them praise in this place tonight. Come on, church. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Woo! Woo! How you feeling there?
Great.
Great? Stretch your hands towards heaven. The Lord's not done yet. The Lord just told me. He said, you've been asking, that you had a few questions about some certain things. You've had a few questions about some things that you've been going through. But guess what? God wants you to know that you're going to have clarification. And that he's got your life in his hands. And that he's got a big plan and a big purpose for you to follow. And he's got a call on your life. Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Now, stretch your hands up and get ready to receive. Close your eyes, just start talking to God. He on the robo, she on the robo, so kototo. He on the robo, she on the robo, so toto. He on the robo, sa ta 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 ta. He on the robo, so kototo. Yes! Pray it out, brother. Pray it out. That's it. Yes! Woo! Yes! Yes! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Vanessa, bring Elia here. She's coming. Look, here she comes running. You know, as well as praying for Kevin here, I seen this little one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Father God, I thank you for this precious little soul. And Father God, I thank you for her heritage. Now, Lord, we know that you got big plans and big purposes for this little one. Now, Father God, I thank you for protection upon her life. And that, Father God, as she grows and develops, Lord, that she's going to learn to love you. And that, Father God, she is going to do things for you, Lord. That, Father God, she's going to change her generation. Yes. That big heart and the big smiles. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes. Yes, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm happy I came to church tonight. I think Nathan King might have got saved. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all have a responsibility. All these are our responsibility. Some of them are not here tonight, and they're still our responsibility. Amen. Who's with me? Who's going to encourage? Who's going to build up? Who's going to be examples? Amen? Because it's not our church, it's their church. Amen? We're going to see awesome things happen in these guys' lives. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your blessing. Lord, we thank you for our kids.